Today on Maine Calling, another in our Passions and Pastimes series. Today, boat building. For everyone who builds a boat with their own hands, there are dozens, maybe hundreds, who dream of doing so. Historically, fine boat building was essential to survival in what is now Maine. For indigenous people and early settlers, canoes and boats were essential for transport, trade, fishing, and communication. Now, many boat builders create beautiful vessels for a different reason. Not for survival, but because of passion, respect for heritage, and enjoyment. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll hear about different kinds of boats, how they're made, and places to learn this time-honored craft. Maine boasts several top-caliber boat-building schools. It's part of our Passions and Pastimes series. That's just ahead on Maine Calling.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn how you can get involved at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. And by Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welchforbes.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Building a boat by hand out of wood is an old art, but not a lost one. In Maine, boat building enthusiasts create wooden vessels of all kind, and many of them learn from master boat builders. We're going to learn about this longtime tradition on today's program. This show is part of our Passions and Pastimes series. It's also tied into two films on boat building that air tonight on Maine Public Television. Joining me for this hour, Ellery Brown with Highland and Brown Boat Builders based in Brooklyn, Isabella Faraci, Executive Director with The Apprentice Shop, and Greg Russell, longtime boat builder, instructor at the Wooden Boat School, and author of books on boat building. You can join the conversation by sending us an email, a brief email, please, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. It strikes me that boat building is sort of like fly fishing, in which people who are really passionate about it are, for them, it's not just a hobby. This is something, there's some mystique, there's some deep philosophical, I'm not sure what the word is, but there's a yearning that's satisfied. I know that my own father looked forward to retirement, and the first thing he did was enroll at the Wooden Boat School and wanted to build a peapod. And so I'm wondering, Greg, what is it? Why is boat building a little different?
Well, it really is a little different, Jen. It's something for everyone. You know, it has design and woodworking and engineering and geometry and applied physics, but it's art and history and so much more. And it just has appealed at the Wooden Boat School. I've had students from just all over the map, all over the planet. And it doesn't matter what they do, they all have this commonality and love for boats. Maybe it is like fly fishing. It just is something that you love.
Yeah, when people talk about boat building, they don't talk about it in the same way that they talk about other hobbies, or at least people I've met. Ellery, what are your thoughts on that?
I think boat building is, I'm biased, but I do think it's sort of the ultimate challenge in a lot of ways. I think of boat building as, it's a lot of problem solving. And if you like to challenge yourself, intellectually and physically, there's ample opportunity. And I also think for me, it's sort of wrapped up in the adventure. You know, you can make a coffee table, but you can't sail to Europe in a coffee table. There's this sort of potential for adventure and self-reliance that I can't think of another craft where, that exists. And And of course, you know, we're not all going to sail to Europe in a Peapod that we build. But it's the potential, it's the sort of limitless possibility, you know, it gets me out of bed every day.
Bella, what would you add to that?
I think this incredibly, I agree with Greg and Ellery, and I would add that there's this incredibly rewarding physical activity. It connects your mind with your hands, with your whole body. It's fun. It's challenging. Yes, for people who like a challenge. It requires you to think how to solve problems with the tools you have around you, how to be creative, how to work with the people that are on a team with you, how to push yourself. It's incredibly rewarding. So I think people are looking for rewarding ways to engage with the world, with the physical environment, with all the digital media that we are in, sometimes forced to interact with today. It is an incredibly different way to live and to engage with the world and with each other. And I think people are craving it.
Bella, I'm going to stay with you for a minute because I understand your journey to becoming a boat builder was not a traditional one, if there is such a thing. Tell us how you got to where you are.
Sure. I was looking to see if I could be an artist and potentially build sculpture and work with my hands, which was something I had never done before. My uncle is a home builder and had studied sculpture in a university environment, lives up in Brooklyn, Maine now, a neighbor of Ellery's. He knew about home building and had built a boat with Brian Reef up in Brooklyn. He suggested that I check out the apprentice shop. He said, don't go to a university and study sculpture. Go to this boat school on your way back to New York City, drive through Rockland, look at this boat school. If you go to that school, you learn to build a boat, you can build anything. And I drove through here, I poked my head in the door, I looked around the shop, I said, I don't understand anything that I'm seeing. I don't understand these tools, what are people doing? I wanna understand this, I wanna be able to do this. And so I enrolled and I did the 2-year program and fell in love with the problem solving, the challenges, the working with a team, and then had the opportunity to work professionally in the industry for a few years and then come back to work for the apprentice shop as the executive director. And I feel very passionate about making this experience available for any and everyone who wants it. So that's my passion right now, is to keep the experience, access to the experience available.
What about you, Ellery? What's your path to becoming a professional master boat builder?
I grew up, I went to, spent summers on McMahon Island in, on your Booth Bay, with my grandparents, and, learned to sail there, and enjoyed that. But I had a bit of a transformative experience, when I first sailed aboard a wooden boat. It was a Alden Triangle, and I had sailed plenty, but it was something. It was a totally different experience, and it just pulled me in. You know, this different from the fiberglass boats I had grown up sailing. It sort of had this. It was like a living entity in some ways. You know, it had soul, it had history sort of built into it, details to see and touch. And I think there, I sort of had a moment. And I don't know, at that point, I didn't sort of decide the course of my life, but I started learning about it and pursuing it. And then couldn't shake it. So when I graduated from college, I looked into how to get some training to do it professionally. sort of shopped around, but tried out the apprentice shop and found it to be a really great fit for me. And had the pleasure of attending the apprentice shop with Bella. And that was just, you know, an absolutely eye-opening experience, just so much exposure to the craft and to everything that goes with it. And from there, I only had one more stop. I actually sailed up to Brooklyn, Maine, in that same Alden Triangle that had originally sucked me in, and found a job, and here I am. So,
Greg Rossel, you, your name is probably on a lot of people's bookshelves. You've written books on boat building. You've written lots of articles on boat building. But you had to have caught the bug somewhere at some point. Tell us your story, your origin story. How'd you get to where you are?
The origin story. Yeah, I grew up around boats and wooden boats and Staten Island of all places. And the wood was, because it was inexpensive. All the guys had wood because they couldn't afford anything else. And I just loved it. And as a kid, the adults would allow us to work on their boats, paint, scrape, rebuild engines. But I got away from that after college, and I moved to Maine during that whole period of backdoor landism, and was here, came up here to farm, and found out that farming at that time was even less money making than it is now. So I went back, said, well, I'm going to go back to my roots. And I attended the boat building school in Lubeck and Eastport, Washington County Vocational Technical Institute, which was just Isabel and Eller, I couldn't believe how wonderful it was. And I just fell in love with it. And so I spent a couple of years there, and I said, this is terrific. And because of all the challenges we talked about. And there, it just opened up all kinds of doors for travel, for aircraft construction, for teaching, for writing. I'm so glad I did it.
You know, and you all, we're really focusing today on passions and pastimes and the reality that so many people in Maine find their way to building a small boat because of their love for the heritage, all the different reasons that you all have given, the challenge, the working with your hands, the building something useful. But I do want to acknowledge that Maine is also a center of boat building with, you know, manufacturers of Sabres and Hinckleys and so many fine major businesses in Maine turning out, you know, boats and yachts that are found around the world. So just to acknowledge that. But I want to ask you, Aunt Bella, if someone's listening to this program and they're one of those people who's always dreamed of building a boat, wonders if they have it in them, what would you say? Who has it in them?
I think anyone who wants to has it in them. We are very proud at the apprentice shop of not requiring any previous experience. We will help you along at whatever point you are starting. So we have some people who have never used tools before. We have some folks who have come from a life career in construction. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you show up and try on a daily basis. It's not easy. Our long-term programs, 12 weeks, 9 months, or 2 years in traditional wooden boat building, are an 8 to 5, you know, year round. You have a summer break and a winter break, but it requires commitment. I think it's commitment, desire, willingness to mess up and keep trying. Those are the requirements.
Ellery, what advice do you have for someone setting out?
I've been, in my experience employing people here at Highland and Brown, I've discovered something about people, and that is that, this isn't very optimistic, but not everyone is paying attention to people around them. I really think while it may be possible to teach boat building to yourself, and I wouldn't discourage anyone from trying, I've learned the most from people, from observing people around me with more experience. You know, and that includes at the apprentice shop. The master builder there, Kevin Carney, certainly teaches by example. He's right on the floor working with all the apprentices all the time. And he's not, the way the apprentice shop works, there's not a lesson plan. You're expected to tune in. And if you're going to get a lot out of it, you're going to pay attention to what the apprentices ahead of you are doing, to what Kevin Carney was doing. You know, I picked up on that pretty quick and got a lot out of it and sort of brought that to my professional work. Just figured out who at the shop was really knew what they were doing, and didn't ask them to instruct me, but just tried to pay attention and try to follow suit. And so I think, you know, not everyone is capable of that. I like Bella's open door policy, and I think everyone should try, but you really have to have your eyes open and your ears open to succeed at this craft. And I just, you know, I say that to everybody I hire. I say, I'll give anyone a chance, sort of like Bella, literally, come on in. I find out pretty quick who can pay attention to what's going on around them and get up to speed, and who cannot, you know.
And Greg, is it the same thing at the Wood and Boat School, that everybody is welcome, but that there are certain skills that turn out, and maybe not the skills you expect, that turn out to be the ones that one needs?
What is interesting, Jen, it's an open door policy, a wooden boat, and it's sort of an a la carte boat building experience, because there's dories and round bottom boats and welding and blacksmithing and lots of different kinds of trades that are representative taught by masters in the trade. But it's really what I've found is that it's the desire. It's, I think, what Isabella was talking about, is the people who go to some place like Wooden Boat or the apprentice shop or to the landing, is that people sort of start off having this desire to learn about it, even if they haven't done it before. And many times when people come, they say, oh, see, I'm a brain surgeon. What do I know about boat building? So many of the skills that people have from their usual lives are transferable. It's not that boat building is that, you have to look at boat building not being that different, but how much alike it is what you're doing. Someone who's a house contractor will bring that to them. Someone who's an engineer, someone who's a certified rocket scientist. They all bring their perspective and applicable skills. So I guess where I'm going with it, it's the desire that if you really want to do it, you can do it. Because there's so many different facets to the trade.
We are talking about boat building, specifically wooden boat building, here on Maine Calling, part of our Passions and Pastimes series. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today's topic is boat building, and it is part of our Passions and Pastimes series. Be sure and catch two films about boat building on Maine Public Television. Fore and Aft airs at 9 tonight, followed by Hull 111 at 9:30, and they air again on Saturday at 2:00 and 2:30. My guest today, Bella Faraci, who is executive director at the Apprentice Shop, Greg Russell, who is instructor at the Wooden Boat School. He's also written several books on boat building, and Ellery Brown with Highland and Brown Boat Builders. Share your comments and questions. Send an email to talk@mainpublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now is Natalie Huss, who's an apprentice at the Apprentice Shop in her second year of boat building. Thanks so much for calling in, Natalie.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
So tell us why you got interested in boat building, the art of boat building, and is it what you expected?
I think the first time I ever thought about boat building as an occupation, it was at some point when I was a teenager, and it was actually a lyric in a song about a boat builder, and I just remember thinking that sounded like the coolest thing. And I think as I get older, that's what I'm always trying to do, is just become a person like someone who I admire. And I've always loved making things, especially beautiful things. So I think that's a big
And Natalie, are you hoping to make a career out of this? And if so, where do you see yourself 10, 20 years?
I think my kind of pipe dream would be to have my own private canoe building business and build canoes for people.
Oh, wonderful. Well, good luck with that. And thanks so much for calling in. Natalie Huss in her second year as an apprentice at The Apprentice Shop. We'll go to some of the calls coming in from our audience here. We'll go to, Matt. Matt, go ahead.
Hi there. My name's Matt Blazek. I'm the educational manager for Maine's First Ship out of Bath. And I had to call in because I don't think you can have a conversation about boat building in Maine without talking about the first traditional ship built in Maine in 1607 by the Popham colonists. So we're an organization based out of Bath, as I said. We built a full-size reconstruction of that ship. Started in 2011 construction using traditional methods, and we just launched it on June of 2022. So it's been out on the water. We've gone to a number of different events, and we're working right now. Hopefully by the end of this summer, we'll have our full Coast Guard license to be able to take people out on the ship on full tours.
Wonderful. Well, Matt, thank you so much for calling in. And I'm going to ask a favor, if you would go onto Maine Calling's Facebook page and put a picture of it in the comments and some more information.
We definitely will. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. An email here from Kenneth at Maine Maritime Museum in Bath. Ongoing wooden boat building is often on view in the watercraft restoration shop as well as in the boat shop. Ellery, both the caller we just heard from and Kenneth, really touching on the heritage of boat building, shipbuilding in Maine. No secret that Maine has long been a center for fine boat building.
Yeah. And obviously it sort of goes back to the first settlers and this is sort of a continuous tradition. In fact, I think that's possibly what's unique about Maine. The tradition of boat building, is continuous through the centuries. And I think in much of the country, there was, in fact, sort of a break. And it sort of corresponds to the advent of fiberglass boat building and the ability to mass produce boats in such a way that, they can be purchased some of them can be purchased at a reasonable cost, easier than one can build them themselves. But so there was a time in this country when wooden boat building really sort of diminished to the point of almost extinction. And I think what's fascinating about Maine is it just barely held on to that tradition. And by way of, a handful really of lobster boat builders and small boat builders along the coast. And then along came a sort of a revival in the 70s and 80s, really, really stimulated by John Wilson and Wooden Boat Magazine. They sort of tuned into that and promoted it. And here in Brooklyn, some of the people that caught on to that revival and got interested in the craft, actually were able to work hand in hand and side by side with local builders who had continued the tradition on their own. And so you had this sort of passing of the torch. I mean, I feel like an anthropologist would be interested. I mean, the amount of knowledge and experience that can be lost if that thread is broken is profound. And so I think Maine is very unique in having continued that thread right through the decades.
Greg.
Well, I totally agree with Ellery. It was almost a lost craft. That's one of the reasons why the Washington County Boat Building School was started, was that the people who started realized they were boatyard owners, and they were afraid that the trade would be lost. The old timers were passing away or were simply unwilling to pass along their knowledge. And it was a matter of economic survival for the coast of Maine, because so many of the businesses depended on boats and had to have someone who could either build or repair them.
We'll go to Joanne, who's calling from Naples. Hi, Joanne, go ahead.
Hi, Cindy. I just wanted to introduce Compass Project to your listeners. I was a volunteer for them for many years. They were originally in Portland. They're a nonprofit, and since 2002, they've been serving children at risk in Maine, and they have affiliated with Spurwink, and they would the schools would identify which ones would be interested in forming little teams of these children that seem to have trouble in school, autistic and dyslexic and things like that. And they would group together and have a one-year project of building a little wooden boat, whether it's a sailboat or most of the time it was a pram. And every year at the end of the school year, they would have an event over a weekend called the Compass Project Boat Building Festival, where these children would group together and finish up their boats. Also, the community would form teams, families, Boy Scout troops, all different types of groups would build over a weekend. And then on Sunday, they would flatbed the boats to East End, launch them at the beach, and then there was a winner, best boat or best, however. But their phrase is kids build boats and boats build kids. Mm. And I saw children every year, all of a sudden they know how to work a drill, they know how to work an end of a hammer and a screwdriver, and they took such pride in these boats. And I cannot say enough about them. They're now in Biddeford. I've lost track of them because of they moved from Portland to Biddeford, but they were affiliated with Spurwink. So anyone that's interested, it's taught by professional wooden boat builders who donate their time to these children. And when I first moved to Maine, my dad built a cottage. The first thing he bought us was a little wooden pram. So it brings back wonderful memories for me.
Wonderful.
All my friends had little prams.
Wonderful. Joanne, thanks so much for calling in and sharing information about the Compass Project, one of Maine's fine nonprofits. We're going to go now to Deirdre Thompson, who's with the Landing School. Deirdre, a couple people have already mentioned the Landing School. Tell us about what the Landing School does.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, the Landing School of Boat Building and Design, we're located in Arundel, Maine. We are an 8-month hands-on diploma program where we teach composite boat building, wooden boat building, yacht design, marine systems, and boatyard management. We are a feeder from all over the United States and also for international students. Students get a very hands-on college experience. There's also an option for students to come back for a second year and choose a second program, take a couple gen eds, and leave with an associate's degree. So
and
we
let
are
me
a
ask,
feeder
yeah.
for the marine industry.
How popular is the wooden boat building contest? Boat building course.
Yeah, it's popular. It attracts many different people at different walks of life. It could be a student fresh out of high school. It could be somebody as a career changer or a hobby. We have some veterans in that program every year. So it just really all depends on where students are in their lives looking for it. But it is popular. I mean, we're doing modern boat building. And so I think it's a really great opportunity for students to just get a hand.
That was Deirdre Thompson with the Landing School. Deirdre, thanks so much for calling. We'll go to Ben, who's calling from Damariscotta. Hi, Ben. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a graduate of the Landing School, and I just wanted to call in to say that, you know, I'm super just grateful that I had the opportunity to go there, and it's given me the skills to start my own boat restoration business and just kind of like find my place in the economy in Maine so that I could stay here as a young person and build a successful career in the state. So yeah, it was really worthwhile, and I encourage anybody to check it out.
Ben, I'm so glad you called in. And Bella, I see you nodding. This is something we really haven't talked about yet, is how important all the graduates or people who have gone through these wonderful programs are to the state.
Yeah, I believe that the apprenticeship, along with school like the Landing School, do bring an influx of younger folks to the area, and many of them do choose to stay here and find a career or carve out their own, start their own boat shop, work independently as a subcontractor, but really finding a connection in the area and building lives here. That's a very common story for our graduates as well. Granted, housing is a challenge that everyone knows about here as well as nationally. So if folks can find places to live, I think a lot of them want to stay here. And it's a huge boost, I believe, to the fabric of our communities.
Ben, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to go to Alex, who's calling from Farmington. Hi, Alex. Go ahead.
Hi there. I was just had a very simple question. I was wondering why you guys called yourselves boat builders and not shipwrights.
Greg, I'll pass that to you.
What was that again?
He wants to know why we're using the phrase boat builder as opposed to shipwright.
Oh, well, because, at least myself, I'm not building ships. So a boatwright, I think, probably would be the term, I suspect.
What do you call yourself, Greg, if someone asks you what you do?
Boat builder.
Is that the same for you, Ellery, and you, Bella?
Yeah. Shipwright is a term that it's somewhat geographical. Just had a guy visit our shop from Martha's Vineyard from Gannon and Benjamin boat builders down there. And he referred to himself as a shipwright, which, you know, I may have snickered a little because, like Greg said, has he actually built a ship? I don't know. I like it because it has a certain, it's sort of grandiose, but I think it, a boat builder is sort of more encompassing, and we build everything from tiny little prams to larger boats, but I've never built a ship myself, so I'm a boat builder.
And Bella, you agree, you're nodding.
Well, I don't consider myself a boat builder at all anymore because I'm mostly working in an office. But at the time, I would have called myself a boat builder when I was doing that work.
Mm-hmm. We'll go to Graham calling from Round Pond. Go ahead, Graham.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I want to go down memory lane real quickly and just say thank you very much to Bella and to Ellery, two people I know from my time at the apprentice shop working there, and then coming back as a client after I ended my position. They rebuilt my boat, and still carrying me through 11 years out there. I'm down here in the Mid-Coast, Damariscotta area, and I really also wanted to just take a moment to acknowledge the passing of a wonderful boat builder from Riverside Boat Company in Newcastle, Paul Bryant. His legacy is undeniable. His work is superb, and there is an obituary linked. I'll put it up on the Facebook page. And I also just wanted to tip my hat to Greg. I listen to him every week on another radio station, and thanks for this program today and for really obviously keeping all the heritage and wonderful work so vibrant in this state.
Well, Graham, thank you for your call. Greg, anything you'd like to say?
Oh, thank you so much for for the kind words. But it's kind of a sort of example of how boat building brings so many people together from all over the place. There's sort of a commonality and camaraderie that's available through boat building.
Graham, thanks for your call. We're going to go to another quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or post to Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today, we are talking about the venerable Maine tradition of boat building. It is part of our Passions and Pastimes series. My guest, Greg Russell, who has been building boats for decades and teaching and writing about boat building, Ellery Brown with Highland and Brown Boat Builders, and Bella Faraci with The Apprentice Shop. If you're quick, you can join the conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainpublic.org. I'm going to go to an email here from Judson, and this question is for you, Ellery. Judson writes, I know it may be a struggle to find employees in your boat building enterprise. Could you share your thoughts about how the pipeline might be strengthened?
Oh, tough question. I'd be surprised if that wasn't my father. Judson is my father. He was a longtime news reporter and journalist and knows how to ask a tough question. So thanks, Dad. How it might be strengthened? Well, I actually think youth boat building programs, I was 14 when I encounter my first wooden boat, but I'd love to see more involvement of elementary age kids getting it into schools here in Brooklyn, which I just have to say is the boat building capital of the world. There's a sign as you come into town says the boat building capital of the world, and it's unverified, but that's what we consider ourselves. So we're sort of in a unique position having so many boat shops in town to get that into our school program. Eric Blake, who is a principal at Brooklyn Boatyard, volunteers a lot of his time to teaching seventh and eighth graders the basics of boat building. And they turn out a boat built almost entirely by seventh and eighth graders every year. The whole town comes out, there's a party, a celebration, and a launching. And for one thing, that's whether those kids go on to become boat builders. I mean, I hope some of them do and carry on this tradition locally. More so than that, it's just empowering for those kids, whatever they decide to do in their life, knowing that they can build something that they can then launch and navigate around the waters of their hometown is really just a spectacular thing. So both just for kids' well-being and success in life, and also, for the industry, I think working these traditions into our schools is really important. And, and it requires people giving of themselves, like Eric here in town, to make that happen. And I would just encourage, all of us in the industry to do that, to try to make that happen more.
We'll go to Mary Lou, who's calling from Cape Rozier. Hi, Mary Lou, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention the word art, A-R-T, because I think the kind of boat building you're talking about is an art, and that's one thing that makes it so seductive and so wonderful to participate in, and the final product is a useful piece of art that's fun to mess around in. I mean, these guys are artists, these guys and gals, they're artists. They need to take that with some pride.
Mary Lou, thank you. And I'm going to turn to Bella because, well, Bella, that's how you started your journey as an artist.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to be an artist. That was, what the prompt was. I agree. I think it is this incredible art form. I think people choose how they want to identify themselves as practitioners or people who are exploring it. But absolutely, there is this experience of putting your heart and soul and your hands into a creation and an object, and that is making art. So I don't disagree at all. I think different people just choose to identify it in their own way.
Greg.
Yeah, I have to agree with Isabella that it is an art, though. A few of us will go around and say that we're artists, but there is a tradition of boats that are beautiful to look at. There's great pride in building this vessel that not only is functional, but has this intrinsic beauty and sweep to the hulls. It, boats by themselves are, in a lot of ways, you could sort of picture them as a pebble or rock in a stream where all the rough edges are worn off of them, so that they're because for efficiency, they have to have that beauty of hull design. And, you know, with just the little details that are put in there just because we kind of are expected to do that. So yeah, there, it's the art part of it, but you don't, but you know, we're just boat builders.
We'll go to Craig calling from Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Craig, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, panelists. Great program. I'm an alum of the Landing School Class of 2002 Systems Program, but a lot of respect for wooden boat building. My question is, do any of you look at time differently than the rest of the world does? Because it seems to be a successful wooden boat builder, you've got to turn your back on time and just focus on the boat.
One thing I love, Craig, is I'm looking at our guests here, and Greg Russell has got a clock over his shoulder. So I'm going to go back to you, Greg, to talk about your relationship with time. I can imagine that it's very easy to lose hours, even days, in a boat building shop.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it's sort of a focus that you still have to make a living, but it's the attention to detail and doing a job that you really, really love. That yes, you know, you're doing it, you're building something, and you have to be efficient. But yeah, you can get lost in your work very easily.
Craig, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Ellery.
That question kind of struck me. We're in April, and I have at least four boats in the shop that we're deep into new boats, restorations, repowers, and right now I do not feel like time is on my side. It's very much a concern for me. But that is the burden of doing this professionally. I think I'm always struck by at the Wooden Boat Show every year, they have a section for just amateur built boats, hobbyists, if you want to call it that. And I have seen some just truly spectacular boats there. I guess I attribute that to time. I mean, as a business, I have a responsibility to my clients to work efficiently, to work to a schedule, to work to a budget. But if you're building a boat for yourself, there is not the pressure of time, and you can agonize over every detail if you so choose, and you can frankly turn out something that is just astoundingly beautiful. And I would even say potentially more so than a professional boat builder has the luxury to produce.
I have an email here from Rob, and this is related to time as well. I'm looking to get into boat building as a hobby, but I work a full-time job outside of the field. What are some ways I can learn skills on a part-time schedule as a hobbyist? Bella.
We try to have some evening and weekend workshops. So I don't know where this person lives, but that's something that if you're in the Rockland area, or if you can get up here for a weekend, we do offer these short courses. Obviously the Wooden Boat School as well, in the summertime, has a whole series of courses, and Greg, you can speak to that more. But we, you know, we would like to have opportunities for folks who just can only have so much time to commit.
Greg.
Yeah, that's now a wooden boat school is a great place to start off, because you can focus in on courses that are 1 or 2 weeks long and focus on what you're interested in. And a lot of students come back year after year after year. It's very intensive. It's, you know, almost like a job. I mean, you know, 8 to 5 every day, and a very intensive learning experience, but fun. But that's a, you know, a way, if someone doesn't have time to spend 2 years or 1 year, that a good way to get into it is put together your learning 1 week at a time.
An email here from Andy. I decided to attempt building a dory years ago from plans published by John Gardner. I had no previous experience and no plans to pursue it as a career, but it was very gratifying experience and one that I would recommend for anyone, regardless of your skill level. Anyone can do it. Bella, that's what you were saying. Anyone can do it. I'm skeptical, but you and Andy have now both said the same thing.
I think so. I think it's worth trying. It may not be something that you decide to pursue professionally, but to have done it even once is incredible. Like Ellery was saying, for, you know, for young kids to build a boat and then set it on the water is the sense of empowerment, the sense of what it is that you can achieve, having, you know, taken on a problem that you had no idea you were capable of following through on and fulfilling. That experience will impact everything else you choose to do in your life afterwards. So I would say anybody should try it. And the results are, you know, are the results. The process is amazing. It's worth a shot.
We'll go to Liga calling from Friendship. Hi, Liga, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I'm so glad I can make this still in time. I just want to give a hats off to the Carpenter's Boat Shop in Bristol, Maine. It's a very unique apprenticeship program in that it only not only serves the goal of building wonderful, beautiful wooden boats with old tools, but also looks at the heart of the boat builder, so that it indeed it forms the person in relationship to the boat. And the founder, Bobby Ives, has retired but is still so involved with the program, and I think many, many young and old have benefited from that Carpenter's Boat Shop being where it is and doing the work that it is.
Liga, as you were speaking, all three of my guests were smiling and nodding. Greg, you seem to have a great appreciation for the Carpenter's Boat Shop.
Oh, it's just a wonderful program. You know, Bobby Ives just was amazing. The changes that he made in people's lives and introducing people to the trade and being part of the community. It's just a wonderful place. So I have to agree.
And using original tools at the wooden boat school. Are you using original tools?
Oh, old time tools, new time tools. Yeah. Boat building involves, you know, from past into the future. Boat building is, you know, an evolution, but you don't throw out the old that works for something new just because it's new.
Liga, thank you so much for calling in and joining the conversation. Liga will be our last caller for this hour. And thanks to our three guests for joining us and sharing a little bit of your experience, especially Ellery, you telling us about the deadline you're facing. So I appreciate you taking an hour out of your day. Ellery
Brown. I'm going to have to work late tonight.
So, thank you. Ellery Brown with Highland and Brown Boat Builders. Isabella Faraci, the executive director of the Apprentice Shop, and Greg Russell, an expert boat builder, author, and instructor at the Wooden Boat School. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can find our past shows and sign up for our weekly newsletter at mainecalling.org. When you sign up, you are eligible to win a mystery book bundle, a mystery book bundle. That's hard to say. Tomorrow on the program, we will explore the power of art to help strengthen communities and to foster healing. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.